Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Heck yes.
Believe it or not, even though the season is over, we're still coming at you 5 days a week with fresh Clippers news.
Oh, yeah. A little less hot coaching goss today, which I thought was funny. We got one day of it.
Yeah. Less names linked to the Clippers today, at least officially, that we've heard about. But today, we're still going to be looking at another candidate, Wes Unseld Jr., father, Hall of Famer, great basketball career. He himself has a very solid pedigree, so we're going to be kind of talking about his background, some pros and cons of his style, and what we think about that as a possible hire. And then we're going to be talking kind of about the end of the bench era, you know, with contracts kind of up in the air. It certainly looking like Trez most likely not going to return to the roster.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the status of that and what that's going to look like for the next couple of seasons. And then in shavings, Trez won a very important award.
Hustle Award, baby.
we got to talk about that. and also, in case you didn't know, this is a Rock Auto pod.
Oh, yeah.
Today's episode has been brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, so this is the Wes Unseld Jr. Why Not segment. Previously, we talked about Darvin Ham, who is going to interview with the Clippers. Talked about how he reacted to Mike Brown interviewing with the Clippers. And also profiled Dan Craig, who's someone that I'm pretty high on.
Yes.
For the Clippers to hire. But today, we're looking at Wes Unseld Jr., who is currently an assistant coach under Michael Malone, which, hey, we saw the Nuggets kind of destroy us tactically. And I think a lot of Clippers fans were shown the gap between Doc Rivers and maybe that top tier of, like, quote unquote, more modern coaches.
Yeah, definitely. Like, definitely.
Mike Malone is a fantastic coach. It was great to watch him just from a basketball perspective, those games.
He is one of my favorite coaches in the NBA. Not only, you know, has he really done a lot with, you know, a lot less on the roster than, you know, more top heavy teams.
Yeah.
But he's also just a great interview.
I feel like
you always come away with some sort of knowledge that maybe you didn't have before from a Mike Malone interview, just the way he looks at the game and the way that he's able to communicate it. And that to me is important because I think that, you know, working under him, you would learn a lot about the game.
Yeah. It's the complete opposite of Doc's. Just trust me, I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to tell you what we're doing until we get their method.
Or even a coach like Spo, who, you know, is by all accounts, like, good with players and is a great coach, but he's not like a super well-spoken dude. He's talked about, he's very introverted. So I guess I wonder if maybe you're able to get a little bit more out of a coach like Malone.
Yeah.
And a very special part of Unseld Jr.'s sort of pedigree with the Nuggets, he was tasked with redesigning their defense and modernizing their defense. They had the worst ranked defense and I believe it was 16-17 or 17-18.
Yeah.
That was Unseld's special project. They finished top 10 his first year on the job. And, you know, we saw this year, I thought, given the pieces that they have, I think they do a pretty incredible job.
Yeah, they took a few steps back, but it's like, I mean, top 10, and I think they were 16th or something this year. Still middle of the pack compared to 28th or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, so he knows how to coach. Like, it's very obvious. Malone loves Unseld Jr. He's been quoted saying he needs to be a head coach, which I know it might be a lame thing, but I want a coach whose head coach has been on record being like, this guy needs to be a head coach.
Yeah, the
same
endorsement.
Ty Lue, like,
the endorsement is nice.
Yeah, the endorsement's big. So his father, Wes Unseld, former MVP, was the GM of the Wizards, and actually he hired Unseld Jr. kind of as like a, hey man, you need a summer job, because he was in grad school. Which my dad would have been the GM of a basketball team and just gave me a sick summer job. So from 04 to 07, they had a top 10 offense on those Wizards team, which Unseld Jr. is kind of credited with helping design. So even kind of early, it's like, okay, he's getting his feet wet. Those are the Gilbert Arenas team, so there's also probably some chemistry stuff that he had to overcome.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I think is a good sign.
But when, you did have one of the best scoring point guards in the league at the time.
It helps. Went to the Warriors for a year. Then the Magic, where he and Jacque Vaughn both got fired after a 15-37 start. But Jacque Vaughn now, of course, considered a very top assistant, someone who a lot of people think that should have gotten the Nets job. Another great
had the Nets job.
Another great guy who he can learn under. And then in 2015, he was hired as an assistant coach by his friend Tim Connelly, then promoted to lead assistant coach in 2016, where he crushed it with the defense. Also has been credited, which we've seen with a lot of the coaches that we've wanted on the Clippers, and with Darvin Ham, who's actually been interviewed by the Clippers, key part of development. So he's a big part of Jokic and Murray's development. Did interview for the Cavs job in 2019, didn't get it. I think that's more on the Cavs than on Wes Unseld Jr. ESPN says he's known for his combination of steadiness, smarts, and empathy. He's able to connect with players while still maintaining respect.
I mean, all sound like great points.
Yeah.
You know, the development is something that was a knock on Doc's tenure with the Clippers, which is, you know, not unwarranted.
Yes.
And so something like that, I think, has got to attract some interest from Ballmer and maybe the front office as well. And, you know, the ability to connect with players while still demanding respect in the locker room. I don't know the exact happenings of what went on there in the playoffs and that collapse, but... I would have to imagine that Doc lost the locker room.
I mean,
to a certain degree.
Yeah, and I think a big thing is just players were mad that ineffective strategies were being used. You know, like,
oh, definitely,
it's something that definitely raised concerns. And yeah, it's just nice to have a guy who kind of seems to have that balance.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just, you know, and I think it's nice we're putting this emphasis on development and whatnot, but win now.
I was going to say, it's not super pertinent to the Clippers, which is the only thing that surprised me, I suppose, about that being a knock on Doc's tenure with the team. So I don't really know how big of a factor that should be.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea that we're looking at someone long-term versus just looking at a
really
win-now
good
coach for the next season.
Great call. I haven't even thought about that, of someone who, like, hey, after this is over, you're probably still going to be a part of this team.
We trust you enough to, you know, sort of navigate what the future of the on-court product of this team is going to look like.
That's a great call. The Bulls looked at him, too. There's a bunch of Bulls articles written about him. Obviously, didn't get that job. But it's going to be interesting. I like this pick, too. He's been in the Western Conference, you know? Like,
yeah.
I would like, you know, Dan Craig, Darvin Ham, been in the Eastern Conference. I would like someone more familiar. Like, it would be nice if it was someone who came from the West.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right? Yeah.
Especially someone who was coached by a team that, or coached for a team that beat us in seven games. But yeah, it'd be interesting. I think of the first time head coaching candidates, and the Clippers haven't talked to anybody except for Darvin Ham that we've talked about so far. But I think I got Dan Craig and Wes Unseld Jr. a little bit ahead of
sort of
Darvin
for the
Hamm.
First year coaches in that kind
yeah,
of
yeah, not in terms
one.
Of yeah, who yeah. I'd want maybe. Dan Craig might be my first choice, but I don't know if he leaves the Heat, because I just think it's really hard to leave the Heat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Unseld's, like, the pedigree's there. I mean, he's been around some elite coaches. All these guys have been around good coaches, but, like, I like the system. He's been with the Nuggets for a while. Like, yeah. There's proven results. It seems good.
Yeah. Played ball at John Hopkins in college.
There we go. I used to smoke weed with Johnny Hopkins and Sloan Kettering. But yeah, I'm pretty excited. I hope he gets an interview. We might not know about it.
Yeah.
we're still waiting on any more info to come.
I think this stuff is really, we've talked about this before, but I think this stuff is kind of really hard to keep under wraps.
Yes.
Unless they're doing remote stuff. If you're doing any sort of in-person Ooh. Thing, I think it's really difficult to conceal that sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, Philly's like, come on in. Yeah. Everyone's like, do I have to wear a mask? They're like, no. And you're like, okay, this is weird. Yeah, that's a good call on the remote aspect. I wonder if they're, I can just picture Ballmer having a difficult time with Zoom and getting frustrated with it.
What are you talking about? He's a tech billionaire. He knows how to use Zoom.
It'd be hilarious, though, if he's like, God damn it, just being mad at somebody. Coming up, we're going to be talking kind of the end of another great Clippers bench era. Not the first time that we've kind of missed the bench and kind of an opportunity to do something with it. But first, we have to give a shout out to Built Bar. The new Built Bar is improved and even more delicious. Comes in 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut, for those of you with allergies. Six new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisps. And now, a limited release, a strawberry flavor. It's fantastic. You get 12% off your order through October 12th, so hurry up and go ahead and order, please. They've partnered with Breast Cancer Angels, Huntsman Cancer Institute, Living Beyond Breast Cancer, and something called Barbells for Boobs, which I can only imagine is a good organization. Built will match your donation to the organizations listed above, up to $50 per order, plus 100% of the proceeds from the Built Bar, from the Built Breast Cancer Awareness hoodie, will go to these organizations as well. Help support breast cancer patients and their families. You can get the hoodie for $20, which, hey, as far as hoodies go, pretty damn good price. There's a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. This only lasts for a bit, so go ahead and get those orders in. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so we're back, and it's the end of the bench as we know it, and we feel fine?
I feel okay about it. Great ref. It's kind of crazy, right? Like, we've seen the Clippers bench units have been, you know, pretty successful consistently in the regular season the past 4 years. We had, you know, even when Vinny Del Negro's there, we had the bench mob,
yeah,
like
definitely.
Barnes and stuff like that. And now it might have to be totally remade.
Well, I mean, you still have some key pieces there. I mean, yeah. Lou is most likely still there unless we... I don't see us working out a trade until maybe closer to the All-Star break, the trade deadline.
Yeah, for sure.
And likely you have Jermichael returning.
Yes.
And then wherever you choose to put Landry. But yeah, there are some questions. I still do think it would behoove them to maybe have another ball handler, whether that's Reggie Jackson,
yeah.
Whether that is... you know, maybe a Jeff Teague.
We've talked about him enough.
Or somebody that they can grab there. And then, you know, I think the biggest thing that a lot of Clipper Nation is looking out for is wanting a traditional kind of a big to sort of round out that bench unit to be able to soak up some more rebounding, ideally
maybe
provide
pass more.
Yeah, maybe maybe pass and provide a little bit more staunch rim defense than what we saw from Trez in the bubble.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, you know, during the regular season, it's like Trez was up there with rim protection and stuff like that. But at this point, this last season and the upcoming season, we can't be content with good regular season stats.
Yeah.
Like, we know they're going to be good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we know it's going to happen. Clippers were said to have had, like, the deepest team in the NBA by most pundits. Again, great for the regular season. Didn't matter in the postseason when benches usually shorten.
Really great through the postseason. Like, look, the fact that we had all the injuries that we did.
Regular season, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
Did I say postseason?
You said postseason.
My bad. not the postseason.
No worries.
Terrible for the postseason. But during the regular season, like, just given all the injuries that we had, you know, certainly missing Paul George for that stint that we knew about in the beginning.
Shamet started a bunch of games.
Yeah, like, then an extended stint. Shamet also had an injury. Pat Bev had an injury. And then, you know, Kawhi Leonard and the way that he has to manage an ongoing sort of degenerative issue.
Yeah.
I think that the bench was able to carry us to, you know, to the second seed is still
absolutely
commendable. But I agree. We saw this bench exposed.
Pretty quick.
In the playoffs, even without key players for other teams on the floor, they weren't really able to make up ground or, I frankly, even stay in the game.
Yeah, they were losing non-star minutes, which is what, you know, we didn't think the bench was going
to
do.
You got to at least be able to tread water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't be drowning out there. And we're one season removed from watching statistically the best pick and roll of all time,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty crazy. We've had the sixth man of the war year winner the last two seasons. And the issue that's going to be so interesting for the new head coach is, we had Trez playing full second halves. So we had him and Lou running that pick and roll because it worked so much. There's no reason not to do it. Now that that's gone, that specific combination is gone, I'm really excited to see what this revamped bench unit is going to be able to do.
Yeah, so this is definitely... you know, this is definitely a double-edged sword in that we will miss having that consistent, reliable sort of Lou and Trez kind of tandem offensively.
100%.
And at the same time, though, I think that it could be really good, and this is an opportunity for growth if a new coach were to come in and design more of a system.
Yes.
I think, you know, success with this second unit would go a long way towards, you know, securing them a long tenure with this organization.
Yeah, and if then, like, maybe that's where the innovation comes from Ballmer, where he's like, I'd like to see some innovation on how the bench plays basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, and from a, you know, Clipperholic sort of thing about it, we've tweeted about it, talked about it. Jermichael's the most important part of this bench.
Yes.
I think even more important than Lou.
Overall,
if he's
yes.
going to be used right,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
the opportunity is there to for Jermichael to be not a sixth man of the year candidate, but someone who's like a top sixth man,
yes,
in the NBA. Do we want to see more staggering with Kawhi and PG? Do we think we'll see that more from a first year coach kind of trying to figure out stuff, also with the shortened turnaround time in terms of when the season's going to start?
You know, I don't know that the staggering that we did use, I kind of thought that we waited too long to get into it, which,
yes,
you know, a lot of that you can chalk up to continuity.
For sure.
I guess I just still... it just depends on the need, I think. Like, mm-hmm. if you need Paul George to be with that second unit to help shore up some of the defense, that makes sense to me. That makes that unit
more kind
better.
Of touch and go in a good way, not in a bad way.
Yeah. But the thing is like, how much are you willing to give up of that increased production? And, you know, like the gravity that those two stars provide together.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to be one of those kind of fine lines to tread. But overall, I think, especially during the regular season, I definitely would like to see a little bit more staggering. And then, I mean, I'd like to see a more effective ramp up, which, you know, this season was so damn funky. We never
so
really,
damn funky, not in a good way.
Yeah, we never had any, I mean, real chance to sort of get guys to the optimal conditioning shape where they needed to be. Doc said, you
evidently,
know, in that final series, there were guys that, you know, he was hoping he could keep in for longer stretches, but they were asking to be taken out. And hopefully, you know, we have a somewhat normal season, albeit with a different start time next year.
Yeah.
And we can stagger those guys some more in the regular season and then ramp up their play. And by that point, hopefully, we have some lineups and rotations that we've gotten to explore and know the efficacy of.
Yeah, and not just like the two-man lineup of like, wow, you look at the two-man lineup of Lou and Trez and it's great. And you're like, fantastic. Still three other guys on the court that you're going to have to use in postseason basketball. I'm really excited to see how Lou looks kind of without Trez, because this other thing that Trez, I don't think Trez gets enough credit for his durability. The man has not missed significant time despite playing an absurd amount of minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen him like tweak something or jack something up in games and just immediately back in.
Yeah.
Take some really, really hard charges, some
shaking the whole
falls.
Staples Center sometimes, dude.
Yeah. His durability will definitely be missed. But, you know, it's been two postseasons in a row. I think we've kind of run the experiment with Trez to its fullest.
Yeah.
And especially with, you know, some of the competition in the West, especially at the top end, having, you know, traditional bigs that are also very skilled. You know, I not just Jokic, but I look at, you know, Nurkic. I look at even like on a backup, you know, someone like Plumlee.
I mean, Kleber was killing us.
Maxi Kleber, when they get Powell back.
Yeah.
I just think there's definitely an argument to be made to want that sort of prototypical size on the second unit.
Well, in staggering, we talked about Kawhi and PG. I'm excited to see Zoo get staggered with the bench, right? Like, we're going to see Zoo in the pick and roll with Lou. I love.
Everybody seems to love Zoo as a pick and roll partner.
Yeah.
He sets great screens. His touch has gotten a lot better. I'm imagining it's going to be even better next year. He's keeps his head up and is willing to pass. Which, you know, I think Trez got away from, especially this season. There's reasons for that, right? Like, his athleticism has improved, his handle improved,
it was
his
working,
finishing improved.
Like,
it was working, you know, in the regular season.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I hadn't thought about that, but I think some sort of staggered Zoo minutes with the second unit could be interesting to watch.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe go to more of a five-out bench lineup.
That's the other thing, too, right? We never got to run that enough in the regular season.
No. Jermichael at the five, I feel like, is going to be on so many Clippers fans. Like, that could almost be, that's almost like a Clippers meme, is Jermichael at the five.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Isn't needing that to happen. It's going to be interesting. Every day that goes by without a head coach, I'm more excited to see what they're going to do. Because it feels like there's more questions in the air. Coming up, we're going to be talking more a little bit about Trez winning the 1920 NBA Hustle Award. But first, Will, all these kids, every time I go out to the mall, I hear auto parts, auto parts, auto parts. Where are these kids getting these auto parts?
Look, there's only one reliable place to get auto parts, and that's rockauto.com.
Okay.
You know, they're reliable and reasonable because they're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need, and the catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Speaking of prices, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low.
Hell yeah.
And they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, we're back after the rockauto.com ad break. It was announced on October 7th that Montrezl Harrell won the 1920 NBA Hustle Award. Way to go, Trez. It honors the player who uses energy and effort plays to help his team win throughout the season. Things like diving for loose balls, taking charges, boxing out, setting screens, deflecting passes, and contesting shots. So, say what you will about Trez. He was top three in charges taken. Setting screens, maybe not so much. Deflecting passes, meh. Contesting shots, averaged a block a game.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad. Yeah. Kind of a weird award that I feel like I don't want to get on my everyone gets a trophy thing here, but I'm kind of, like, a lot of people are like, huh, I didn't even know about this award.
Yeah, well, I mean.
And he does hustle when he wants to hustle in his certain areas.
He does hustle, and when he is engaged, he is, you know, a high motor, high hustle player.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of how he was pitched to the All-Stars coming here, is like kind of that guy who is willing to do the dirty work and get things done. And I think we did see that at points during the regular season.
For sure.
It did not carry over to the playoffs, and, you know, there could be any number of things for that. I think accumulated injuries could have started to wear on him throughout the regular season.
Ooh, he did have some wear and tear.
I think missing the entirety of the bubble ramp up to get there for the playoffs after so much time missed, you know, you got to assume that he wasn't in the ideal shape that he would have liked to have been, which makes doing that kind of stuff a lot harder.
Yeah, good call. You're using so much energy, especially when Doc is like, hey, go guard Boban.
Yeah. And he was what? I mean, he was top three in the league and charges taken. Like,
yeah, he was number one for most of the season.
The man works. I think Kyle Lowry took it
from him. Was one. And then I think Mo Wagner was two. Yeah, and then
Mighty
Trez
Mo.
Was three. Yeah, Mighty Mo. Trez posted on IG. He had the Clippers thing. He said, make sure you go look at what it comes from, but let the story be told. Trez can't guard, with a shrug emoji. Not a defensive award.
Not a defensive award.
And again,
sort of nebulous award.
And again, it was, and like, that's what sucks with this recency bias, right? Is it's just so hard to not factor the postseason in. This is a regular season.
I'm really
award.
Having trouble with that. I think for my own mental health and well-being, I might need to go back and watch a bunch of regular season games.
Very good
sort
call.
Of get back into what was good for this team, because there is still a lot of good, and I do think it's easy to get caught up in the disappointing way that the season ended.
100%. And Pat Bev won this award a couple years, seasons ago, three seasons ago, I think. Here's my question, though. Does this award suck?
No. I think that stuff like this,
and that's not a testament to Trez winning. I don't mean it like that at all.
I think stuff like this is interesting, especially to like casual fans who maybe like don't know some of these guys, or
that's a good
you
call.
Know, you don't get to see some guys just put in so much work, and it's stuff that like doesn't show up on the stat sheet. And,
yeah.
and we talk about this from time to time, but
Jermichael's one of those guys.
Yeah, I just do think there is credit to rewarding guys who work hard.
Yeah.
And yeah, feel how you may about Trez receiving it, especially you know given his postseason.
He deserved it regular season wise.
I do think that he put in the work, and man, he really tried to be a better player this year. I think that he might have gotten a little disengaged due to a lot of personal stuff going on in the playoffs, but that can't detract from what he did all season.
Yeah, and I think maybe
he already lost like $40 million, man. Like, yeah. Let's let the man live.
I think one thing that gets me is the name of the award. It sounds like the award you give to the kid on your sports team who's like maybe not the best or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I know it like in the NBA, it's but like the name is a little like, you got the Hustle Award, buddy. You're like, the fuck? Like, but I'm happy you got it. That's two trophies for Trez this year.
Yeah.
Two more than anyone else on the Clippers got.
Yeah. I mean, should have had at least one more Western Conference trophy to add to that.
The silver basketball trophy.
Yeah.
That's got to be the worst trophy in sports.
Yes.
Even the like champion, the conference championship for like football is a little more interesting. The basketball one is just a silver basketball.
Well, I think part of it is I don't think we value conference champions as much as we should. Like,
it's hard. It's so hard.
A lot of everything kind of gets boiled down to finals and winning it all, which, you know, of course, that makes sense. You know, but even winning a conference championship, man, that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
One team does it per year.
So that movie Bad Teacher is on Netflix right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they keep showing...
Never seen it.
They keep showing the clip where it's like... They keep showing that clip where it's Jason Siegel arguing with the young kid about how like LeBron can't ever be the greatest because rings matter. And the kid's like, would you have any argument other than rings? He's like, it's the only argument I need, Sean. And that is where that lends to your point of like, dude, what? Like, so Adam Morrison is a better basketball player than Charles Barkley?
Like, yeah, totally.
Like, get the hell out of here. For a while, the Patriots, because they were winning the conference championship so much, there's videos of Bill Belichick accepting the conference championship trophy and literally just like holding it with one hand and being like, just like walking away. I will be so excited when the Clippers can get a conference championship trophy.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
I hope that they sell novelty ones that you can unscrew and turn into a popcorn bowl. That seems like a good time for everybody.
Unsold, bring us home, yeah, buddy.
Get us there, Unsold Junior. Anything else in shavings?
No. But there's still exciting stuff on the horizon. Hopefully we get some more news on possible interviews or candidates for the coaching job for the Clippers. We'll keep you updated on that, of course.
And go watch some Darvin Ham college dunking highlights. He was rated as like the 8th best dunker in the history of college basketball. Dude threw down. Good to see. Friday's episode, we're going to be taking a look at another possible Clippers coaching candidate. We're going to be doing a Love, Mary quarantine. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Well, where can these fantastic people listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. Please subscribe if you haven't already. We're also on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Google Podcasts. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Yeah.
Leave a rating or review if you haven't already. We'd love to know what you think. It really helps us out. So, yeah, keep rocking with us. We still got content for you. We're excited to bring it 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.